Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Rhoda says, I'm more than happy to be called old in my 80s. I consider it an achievement. However, please don't call me elderly. That's a state of mind I never wish to attain. That's a good rule, okay, Rhoda? You see, we can be politically correct and call people elderly, but you prefer old. I think you're right. And another texter says, I'm 91 after a lifetime of people. Alone is good. There's a big difference between being alone and being lonely. And finally, here, text here from Denise. Hi, Brendan. The thing that drives me crazy is being called dear. I'm over 60, but I'm not dotty. Denise, aren't you great? Over 60 and you're still texting away there. I hope you have one of those phones with the big buttons on it. Well done, you dear. Well done, Denise. Okay, I'm joined now by Stuart Clark, Assistant Editor of Hot Press, and we're going to talk about something else entirely at the opposite end of the age spectrum, really. So, Stuart, Taylor Swift has broken streaming records again this week, but it's with her classic album Red, but with a re-recording of it. And this is the second of six of her albums she's re-recording. So what's going on here? What's this project about?
Yeah, 90 million streams in one day, and it's all going to her. Basically, she's a veteran, age 31. She signed her first record deal 16 years ago when she was 15 with an independent company called Big Machine Records, and that was for six albums, which sounds like actually a lot. That could have been a mistake to stay with the one company for that long. But it was just a normal record deal. But of course, they own those albums. They own the recordings of the albums, but not the songs. And Big Machine saw a payday and sold their back catalogue, which was mainly Taylor, to a guy called Scooter Brown, who manages the likes of Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber. He held on to them for a couple of years. Taylor tried to buy them. They couldn't strike a deal. And he's now sold them on to a private equity company. Now, Taylor, I've not met her, but everyone I know who's interacted with her is very much in control of her own career. There's no Svengali pulling the strings anymore. And she wants her own work to exploit in the way she wants to.
So basically, she's re-recording all those albums, and the idea being that when those albums are played in the future, it'll be Taylor's version, as they are called. And I think it's working, isn't it? There's been huge support for playing Taylor's versions, and I think iHeart, which is one of the biggest radio networks in the States, is backing her on this.
That private equity company must be wondering about their investment, to be honest. I mean, what happened over the last 20 years was a digital land grab, really. I was talking the other day to Ian Broody from The Lightning Seeds, and he has made from digital streams of Three Lions $6,000. Peter Frampton, Baby, I Love Your Way, classic tune, played on the right. Yeah, Peter Frampton, for about 40 million plays of Baby, I Love Your Way, got less than $4,000. So some of those deals did not cover the new technology. And there's been a mad scrabbling around. And quite a few Irish artists have been sort of looking to regain control. I know that Neil Hannon and Divine Comedy has all his masters. He owns everything now. So when he re-releases, he's doing it, you know, under his own auspices. And all the money goes to Neil. The likes of Luca Bloom have gone, you know what? Other models work for other people. I'm going to release my own records. I'll own the publishing. I'll own the masters. I get all the money. And for more sort of cult niche artists, that really does work.
Yeah. And of course, look, this is a story as old as the hills, really, isn't it? Because from the beginning of record companies and recorded music, young artists come in desperate for, delighted with a contract, often don't have a good lawyer and whatever, and they get these rubbishy contracts that they sign into and then spend the rest of their lives trying to get out of them, don't they?
Well, we have a big music college in Dublin, BIM, the music college there. And what they do is they teach you how to play guitar, but also how to read spreadsheets and basic contractual law. You should come out of a 3 or 4 year course knowing these things. And you're right, that young whippersnapper Frank Sinatra re-recorded stuff back in the 50s, the Everly Brothers in the 60s. But there's been some bizarre cases now. It's not the masters, but about 10 or 15 years ago, the Beatles back catalogue belonged to Michael Jackson. And Paul McCartney wasn't best pleased. They had been friends. I think it sort of cooled a bit after that. So, you know, you see these telephone numbers when you sign a record deal. Now, often it's an advance, so you have to pay them back. But I don't know what advice Taylor had back in the day, but at 15, she probably herself wasn't able to read those spreadsheets and you know, contracts. I did meet Billie Eilish a couple of years ago. And she struck me as somebody at the same age, roughly 17, 18, who's really on top of things. She was saying stuff to me about the business that I was going, oh my God, you know, you're really clued up. Yeah. And I think that there's been so many horror stories that people are much more versed in what can go wrong these days.
And then I presume a lot of contracts, as you alluded to there, that were done before people knew that streaming really would be, like, apart from live touring, the major source of income. Presumably people did deals based on selling CDs or whatever, and that those deals now are meaningless.
Well, certainly they need to be renegotiated. And what you also find is Alabama 3, who had that massive hit with Woke Up This Morning, which would have made them millions. They were so broke that about 3 or 4 months before, you know, David Simon picked that for The Sopranos, they went, you know what, lads, someone's offered us $100,000 for that album. We're broke. We'll give them that because it hasn't sold. This is money for nothing. And then that happens. So everything in this business is a massive gamble. It's like roulette.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, there's big money in the private equity have all come in now to buying artists' back catalogues and stuff like that, aren't they, and monetizing it and everything. That's the new movement in the industry, isn't it?
Yes, and you had like someone like David Bowie issuing Bowie bonds, which I think allow people to exploit his catalogue for 20 years. Bob Dylan has said, you know what, take my back catalogue. Do with it what you will, you know, turn it into commercials. I don't know what Taylor has in mind, but already she's having the last laugh. I mean, she is worth $335 million already. Now, she was also a Spotify refusenik, and she made the point, and she was very gracious and said, look, I am very, very rich, but I'm doing this as a point of principle, but also for the bottom 95% of musicians who aren't making a living, the next generation, the next me, deserves a better deal. So I really admire her for highlighting things. It's not greed, although it will, of course, increase her earnings. But I think she genuinely cares for the next wave of artists who are finding it so hard to make anything approaching a decent living from music.
Okay, so fair play to Tay-Tay. And thank you, Stuart Clark, Assistant Editor of Hot Press. And we'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.